Welcome to Geographical Thinking, a podcast full of ideas, stories, and conversations through the lens of geography. I'm your host, Guan Yu. Noise is part of the package when living in a big city like Toronto. But how much noise is too much noise? Research shows that ongoing exposure to noise can increase the chance of heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. Our guest today has had enough of excessive noise in the city, and she's doing something about it. Ingrid Boudet, founder of No More Noise Toronto, joins us to tell how she's taken matters into her own hands by collecting noise data and starting a campaign to reduce urban noise in Toronto. Hello, Ingrid, and welcome to Geographical Thinking.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
How long have you been living in Toronto?
I've been living in Toronto for over 10 years.
Wow. Can you recall the exact moment when you find noise is a problem for you?
Yeah, I've been living in Toronto for 10 years and been living in my condo for that time. And I used to be able to nap in the sun on my balcony. And then pre-COVID, I actually started hearing louder, backfiring, and aggressive sounding vehicles. And that was kind of the first time I really noticed it. And then during COVID, when the streets were empty and we all experienced our cities without the vehicle noise, the drivers discovered the DVP Gardiner 427-401 racetrack. And after many nights of being woken up by them, one night I heard a lone motorcycle and I timed it. I heard it for 10 minutes, which according to Google Maps put it 7 kilometers away. I thought of how many people heard that one engine and how many were like me that got woken up by it. What happens when there are thousands of them? And I wondered what had changed. My location didn't. And this was when I became motivated to study excessive vanity noise.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't just stop with these questions in your head. You did something about it right away. Where did you start?
I started by investigating sound and how the city manages its noise reports, because I started making noise reports because that's what we're told to do. And what I found was that I can make a noise report, but then the city says, well, do you have a picture? Do you have a license plate? And it's like, no, it's 3:30 in the morning. I'm in my condo. I'm in my pajamas. And so I started looking at the process of how noise was reported, and it wasn't working. The process didn't work. So then I thought, okay, I'm going to collect my own data so that I can understand what I'm living with.
Wow. And collecting data. Data is just one word, but it's so expansive. And where did you start from collecting data? And as you were said, you're hoping to understand it better. To what end?
When I started researching noise and I studied noise models, I saw that models have averages of sound, but we don't hear averages of sound. We hear sound as it happens. And so I bought a sound level meter to understand what I live with and what everybody else who lives beside an arterial or highway lives with. And when I saw that I have all these noise spikes, I thought, wow, how many people don't know about this, or we are subjected to it and we feel like we can't do anything? It's called induced hopelessness. How many people feel that they can't do anything about it? And I watched a video from Tor Oyamo, who is a professor, associate professor at Metropolitan University and really an expert on urban noise. And he said, we don't know enough about noise at the bedroom window. And I thought, aha, that is the place for me to step in and start to collect data about noise from the bedroom window.
How big of an issue do you think excessive noise is in Toronto? Beyond bothering you know, your personal life, do you see it pose a bigger risk to residents at scale?
Okay, so noise is a huge problem, and it is the number two urban environmental health hazard declared by the World Health Organization. And it is something that we've been told, oh, you'll get used to it. Oh, it's a sign of progress. Well, actually, now we know that Excessive noise or noise actually over 55 decibels can create ischemic heart disease, stroke. It also has cognitive implications for depression and anxiety. And children that are trying to learn in noisy environments, actually it impairs their learning. It impairs the teacher, or it doesn't allow the teacher to share the information correctly. They need to stop and wait for the noise to go by. And it creates this feeling of hopelessness that is, I really see that people are feeling that they can't do anything about noise, yet we're angry, we're tired, and we want to do something about it. We just don't know what.
Mm-hmm. Earlier, you mentioned that when noise level is presented to us, it's usually the average, but it's the spikes that matters, that's most disturbing to people. So when you started your data collection, how do you analyze these spikes? How do you study the impact of these spikes?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it's those spikes that people, even at the high average that the sound level meter shows, we feel and hear those spikes individually. And I had a really great opportunity presented to me where the Gardner was closed for the ride for brain health. And what that did was it took away the high average. And then suddenly, like when a water level drops in the lake or the tide drops in the ocean, suddenly I saw all of that geography, all of those spikes show up, and they are numerous. And what researchers are learning is it's that these spikes, whether we're annoyed or not, sound has both an audio property that we hear and a physical property that we feel. So it doesn't matter if we're annoyed or not, we feel that property of sound, and that hits our bodies and releases a stress hormone. That's why alarm clocks work, because our bodies are always listening. And so it's these spikes that we suddenly hear and feel that wake us up at night or disturb our conversation, or distract us from what we're trying to do, that releases a stress hormone, which has all those negative health impacts. And so now what I'm doing is, after I take a measurement at someone's home with my equipment, I look at that week-long measurement, and I actually then count the number of spikes that are above 10 decibels above the average at night and 20 decibels above the average during the day. And at night in a week, you can ease. There's some locations that have over 100 spikes during the week at night. And that's when we're supposed to be having a restful, restorative sleep.
Mm-hmm. You brought up the word geography in your answer there. And I think studying the geographic area that are impacted by some of these noise is really hard, because it doesn't have a sudden boundaries that, you know, that can be drawn to it. And one other thing I think about geography is all of the people who live in these zones that are highly impacted by these noise. And I heard you've done some analysis of that. Can you share with us what you found?
Yeah. So back to that one lone motorcycle and that question that I had of how many people were impacted. I took a introduction to GIS course in my first year of COVID, because I love maps. And I learned about buffer analysis. And that got me so excited. Maybe that makes me a real noise nerd, I'm not sure. But I did an analysis of how many people live within 750 meters of a highway. And there's over 650,000 people that live within 750 meters of a highway in Toronto. And people always think that highways are the worst, but now in my studies, I'm learning that arterial roads, I think, are actually worse, because arterial roads get really quiet. And if the lights are timed, you know, in a certain way, you can be sitting at Avenue and Bloor and it is very quiet. But then the lights change and boom, you're suddenly at spikes of over 100 decibels. And so my next buffer analysis is going to be the arterial roads in Toronto, to see how many people live within a very short, you know, probably 50 meters of an arterial road. And I think that number will be staggering.
So you were introduced to spatial analysis and GIS because of your project. How do you find the learning curve so far?
The course was one of the hardest courses that I've taken, because the concepts were something that that was new to me. I've taken lots of continuing education courses, but nothing like this. But what I found is that the Esri ArcGIS Online AGOL software package, for somebody who has never done GIS, it was quite user-friendly. I've configured software before, so I, you know, muddle my way through, but the training that Esri had, I initially took some of the MOOCs. And Esri has been very helpful in both the materials and the support that I've received in order to get me up to speed. However, there is so much to learn. There's so much analysis to do. So I'm very excited to have two senior geography students from U of T join me this fall and next spring to help me pull the stories out of the data that are sitting in there.
That's wonderful that not only you picked it up, but now you're getting extra help to dig deeper into the analysis. Now that you have your data and you've done some initial analysis, one piece of it, I think, for all of the data collectors is how do I share it in a meaningful way so that I can reach the audience that I want to engage? And from our previous conversation, I learned that you've done something again with geospatial tools to present the data back to the community so that these are not separate incidents that you notice and recorded in your life, but then it can be presented in a cohesive way back to the audience. Tell us what you've done.
Yeah. So I've collected two different kinds of data. One is what I was referring to with the equipment, with the sound level meters. And then the other one was through Esri's Survey 123. And that is where, this is what really got me excited, is because you could submit a report on a phone, and then that would then go into the database and then could be presented back to the community, both in a visual map, so people can see their dot on the map, which is, I think, very important, but then also the dashboards can pull and display the data. A picture tells 1,000 stories. One picture can tell 1,000 stories. Is that the right expression?
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's where I found that being able to share that information back to people on Twitter or in Facebook or in other mediums, and so that then people can see they're not alone and that there, many people share the same problem, and some people might be in the same area or across the city, but noise is actually a global issue. So I kind of have some really great plans for some of the Esri software.
Please do tell. We're curious to learn more.
Well, with the U of T students, the noise bylaws in Toronto will be completed by December. They might go for
that's
further
December
review.
2023.
That is correct. Yep. So there might be further review, but I have a feeling that they want to put this to bed and kind of move on, because we can talk about noise for a really long time. So in the spring, what I'm hoping is that I've got two different versions of my NOT 311 noise report that is on Survey 123. And what I'm hoping is that we can really create a survey that works for people, that's quick and easy to access and to submit noise reports. And if this can be shared globally, because noise is a global issue, and I think if we can create a community around noise and sound level awareness and just being aware of our soundscape, I think we will be able to create or join this global movement that's saying, let's take back our soundscape. Let's sleep at night. Let's not look at noise as progress, because we now have options. We don't need to have a combustion engine pushing us around on the road. We have electric vehicles, but we also need to make sure that those electric vehicles don't make unnecessary vanity noise.
That's a huge plan ahead of you. And I can see that you have a very solid foundation now to get that going. Now I want to get back to that crowdsourcing survey piece of it. When you ask someone to fill out a survey, what are the information that they're providing?
Yeah. So when people report to 311, they need to submit a whole bunch of information, their address, it's about 12 different screens. So I wanted it to be short and to the point. So A, all of the reports are anonymous. They get a GPS point of the location of the noise source, not where people heard it from, but where the noise source is, the time and the date, which is pre-filled, and then what type of noise it is and their annoyance level. And the reason why I have annoyance level in there is that is the direct correlation to the stress levels in our bodies that we are aware of. At night, we may not get woken up by a sound, but our bodies still feel it. However, we're not necessarily as annoyed unless we are woken up, and then it goes from 0 to 10. But those are the things that I'm collecting to make the survey quick, easy, and quick to complete.
How many data entry points have you had so far?
I'm excited. We just crossed 6,000 noise reports. So that is, I guess it's that that's getting to the point where it's starting to become statistically significant on the map. I am still missing some wards, and there's some areas specifically to the east, west, and north of the city that I don't believe have an accurate representation yet. So I'm looking to get the message out a little bit more about that. But I'd love to get to 10,000 reports. I somehow think that that's a magical number.
Now you have some of the data and part of the story kind of illustrated by that data. Are you doing something about what you found so far?
Mm-hmm. I'm sharing it with people first, and I'm also sharing it with our elected officials. We have a noise bylaw review here in Toronto this fall, and many people, I think when people were trying to say how impacted they were by noise, it came across as anger, because we are angry, because literally every noise event, peak noise event, is basically an assault on our nervous system. And we gradually get angry. And what the data is doing is it's removing that anger and it's presenting it as fact. And so when I, again, a picture tells a thousand stories, that's where people can look at this chart and look at these charts, and they see those spikes and they're like, yeah, that's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm seeing. And it validates what their experience is. And so it is another way. Many people don't want to share their stories, or they don't want to speak with elected officials. And also, I need to say that people who are recovering from an illness, or people that are blind, or people that are have mental disabilities, noise can really impact them. And often they don't want to draw more attention to themselves. And so this is a way for me to have a factual argument that has an equity lens, and that people, no matter who you are impacted by noise. And no matter what kind of situation you are in, if you're sleeping and suddenly you have a 100 decibel spike outside your window, that is impacting your health.
You're promoting data-driven decisions. According to the conversations you've had so far with local politicians and residents, how confident do you feel that what you've done will push some changes to happen to the noise bylaws? Do you see that it's a far-reaching goal at this point, or it's actually close?
That is such a good question, Gwan, because, you know, it's like kind of like noise is the secondhand smoke. Back in the 70s, when people were talking about climate change, you know, and then the whole thing, then climate change kind of got squashed, right, by the companies that were producing it. Well, we're kind of dealing with the same thing here. And though everybody understands that noise is a problem, auto manufacturers are marketing cars with aggressive exhaust notes. And they're actually starting to, for the electric vehicles, they're starting to manufacture sound. They're manufacturing gear shifts. They're manufacturing vibrations inside the cabin, because they want the electric driving experience to be the same as the combustion engine driving experience. And so, you know, there's headwinds. Everybody has a noise story. And I think everybody goes, yeah, noise is a problem. except if you live in a nice leafy neighborhood and you get good sleeps at night. But even those people can be at a sidewalk cafe and then a Harley goes by and they know that noise is an issue. So I don't think that is the, we don't need to convince people that noise is an issue, but what can be done about it is going to be the issue. And that's where I think Toronto has an opportunity to lead. There are noise cameras going in all over in Europe, Berlin, Paris, New York. Cities are looking at doing at putting an 85 decibel level limit on all vehicles. If your vehicle is louder than 85 decibels from 50 meters away, you can be charged. So we need clear, distinct bylaws. And the Toronto Police Services say this as well. They say unless there's significant changes to the bylaw, it's not worth the police officer's time or expertise. So we have an opportunity. That's clear. But we also have headwinds and we need people to become engaged, submit not 311 noise reports, have sound level measurements, but more importantly, speak up, have your voice be heard. Because unless we say something, nothing will change.
Mm-hmm. Now you're growing from an individual advocate to a community of really engaged citizens. What are the ways that you use to promote this initiatives and how are you recruiting new people into this community?
Mm-hmm. That is the challenge. You know, it's getting out of my echo chamber. And I've got a nice niche following between my newsletter, Twitter, and a Facebook group. But I need to get out further. And so at the time of this recording here, the noise bylaws, the public consultations were just announced. And what they're doing is they are actually splitting up the consultations into different noise sources. So construction, amplified sound, motor vehicles, each one of those are separate sessions. And what I'm doing is I'm going to be promoting prep sessions so that people can join and learn a little bit more about noise, the health impacts of noise, and then how they can be, and then I'm going to educate them so that they can be prepared and ask good questions and also be able to state their case with confidence. So that's one way. There's also, I was lucky enough to be chosen as part of the Hot Doc Citizen Minutes program. And so there's an 8-minute hot doc called Do You Hear What I Hear, which is all about noise in Toronto. And a friend of mine, Daniela Levy-Pinto, who is a pedestrian advocate who happens to be blind. And so I share that hot doc at every webinar. And we're also having an in-person meeting or an in-person panel and showing later on in the year. And then I'm going to do my best to alert media of events and put the bug about noise in everyone's ear. I'll talk to anyone at any time about noise to see how far we can spread the message.
You make enough noise for people to come together so that we can reduce the level of noise in the city. That sounds wonderful. What's the next? What are you hoping to achieve in the short term? We hear about the bylaw review. What are you hoping to achieve in that milestone moment?
I would really like to see some significant changes. I would really like to see some clear bylaws so that, you know, it isn't subjective. Right now for motor vehicles, it says unnecessary. Well, what's unnecessary? You and I can both have two different definitions of that. So I think the bylaws need to be clearer. And if we can make that message come through. The other thing is that you cannot make good decisions from bad data. And that's where I would really like to see an improvement in the process. Noise is a relatively new issue on police and cities' radar. It's really started only to come in the last few years. And I would like to see an improved process. I would like to see improved bylaws. I would like to see increased fines and demerit points attached to them, because the noise that I am going after specifically for vehicles, I'm calling vanity noise. And if we can reduce the amount of backfiring and loud, aggressive mufflers, I think the whole city will sleep better and we will actually feel better. You know, I think when we have the opportunity to leave town and we go and we're in a quiet space or even in town, and we get away from that constant hum, we can actually feel the unwinding of the stress. And that's what's causing that stress is what's causing our health impact. So Short term, let's make some changes to our bylaws. Long term, let's actually look at the provincial and federal levels of noise regulations, because I think there's some loopholes there that people or drivers or auto manufacturers can go through that allow these excessively loud vehicles on our roads.
Mm-hmm. For listeners living in Toronto and elsewhere, how could they join your initiative there if they're interested?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can visit my website, which is a really easy name to remember, nomorenoisetoronto.com. There is a sign up for noise news right at the top, and they can click that, and then that would be to my newsletter. And then what we have is basically a collection of story maps, another Esri product that allows me to share the story about noise. And this would be a way that they can scroll through that website, get informed a little bit more. They can follow me on Twitter, which is at SippinData, SippinData. And I also have a Facebook group called No More Noise TO. And it's starting there. I have some more work to do with social media. It's a constant evolution in that world, but that's how people can join with me now.
That sounds wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Ingrid, for joining us today. And thanks for all that you've done to make the city quieter and for people living there to sleep better at night.
Thank you so much for having me. And I appreciate everything that Esri is doing for this cause.
Ingrid Boudet is the founder of No More Noise Toronto, an advocacy group seeking to educate the public and city leaders about urban noise, its health effects, and how a reduction in noise can lead to a better quality of life. You can learn more about No More Noise Toronto at nomorenoisetoronto.com. This podcast is brought to you by Esri Canada, a technology company that empowers people and organizations by the science of wear. Bye for now.